3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 33 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Well, if the music doesn't wake you up, the videos will, right? Y'all, that's fun to follow because it's exciting. But I'll tell you what, more exciting than that video for me is this message that we have today because of what it's launching and what it's all about. And if you want to know why I'm excited about it, this is why. A couple of years ago, my now 10-year-old daughter, Cooper, so she was about 8 at the time, came to me at home and she said, "Dad, what is my next step with God?" I said, "Well, Coop, I'm not sure. What do you think that it is?" And she's like, no, Dad, listen to me. I need you to tell me, what is my next step with God?" I said, "Well, Coop, you know, it's really not just, you know, that simple. You know, maybe it's something you should pray about. Have you prayed about what your next step is?" She's like, "Dad, you're not listening to me. Look at my face," you know, kind of thing. And she's like, "I've stepped over the line of faith. I've been baptized. I serve in the preschool ministry, and I'm on the praise team in the elementary area. So what do I do now? What is my next step?" I said, "Okay, I see. Cooper, it's not that simple. It's not A and then B and then C and then D. It doesn't always work that sequentially." She's so frustrated at me at this point. She's like, "Dad, look at me, listen to me. You have a next step center in the foyer of the church. It has volunteers in it. If I went up to one of those volunteers on a Sunday morning and said, 'What is my next step with God?' what would they say to me?" I said, "Cooper, my guess is they would be speechless. They probably wouldn't know what to say to you." Here's the deal. Cooper knows that she's made for more. And I do too, right? But I also think that in that moment that Cooper represents so many of you in that you are interested in knowing what your next step with God is, but you're uncertain about what it could be. And I want you to understand at Brazos Point Fellowship, our God-given mission is guiding people to take their next step with God. And I believe that we do that well, but I also know that we can be better, that we can do better at this. Just last weekend, we celebrated 20 years, the 20-year birthday of Brazos Point Fellowship. We celebrated 20 years of people taking next steps, 20 years of lives being changed, 20 years of the mission and vision of this church being realized. But I want you to hear me this morning, church. We will not settle for what God has done in the past. There is more. There's more for us as a church. There's more for you as individuals. There is more, and we will press into the more that God has for us as we live in this mission of guiding people to take their next steps with God. And the exciting thing for us is that God has been leading us in a direction for some time now. Like as we approach this 20th birthday, and we are prayerfully evaluating and asking God to help us to tweak our strategy and the way that we make disciples here, God has been leading us in a specific direction, and I'm so hopeful that it will be so helpful for you as you take next steps. So maybe this morning you're like Cooper. You know that you're made for more. You want to know what your next step with God is, and our heart's desire, our hope, our sincere hope is that this disciple-making pathway that we're introducing today, that it will be a good guide for you as you continue your journey with Jesus. I want you to understand what this disciple-making pathway is about. So take a look at this video.
Following Jesus is a journey, next step by next step. We're not just wandering aimlessly. No, we move with direction and purpose. That kind of movement needs a plan and a path, a GPS for the journey. The disciple-making pathway is your GPS as you journey with God next step by next step. A follower of Jesus is also called a disciple. You become a new disciple when you discover a relationship with Jesus. At this point on the path, we guide you into next steps as you continue to discover new life in Jesus. With Jesus, you come as you are, but you don't stay that way. As you continue the journey, you become a growing disciple and you continually develop as you learn to know and do what God says. At this point on the path, you guide you into next steps as you continue to develop in your life as a disciple. But here's the deal. Every disciple grows to understand. It's not about you. As you continue the journey, you become a disciple-making disciple and you deploy as you go, living on mission with God. At this point on the path, you guide others into their next steps as you continue to share what you have discovered as a disciple. Next step by next step.
Y'all, I'm so excited about this and all that that video represents, because this represents so many months of work and prayer and practice and effort and development. I'm just so thankful God has given our team so much unity around this, and he's gifted our team. We've got people that are gifted on the Brazos Point staff that have built that animation video. And this is all stuff that God is leading us to as a church, as we engage with this disciple-making pathway. And I want you to recognize from the very start that it takes place in three different phases. This is your GPS, okay? So we want it to help you not just discover where you are, but where you're going. So listen and think through these three phases. The first phase is all about discovery. This is the discover phase. And then that leads to the develop, and then ultimately to the deploy. And what we're going to do over the course of the next couple of weeks as we continue in this Made for More series is we're going to take a deep dive into each one of those three phases. So I think it's best that we spend our time today at the beginning. So let's start with the start and start with discovery. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. If you have a Bible this morning and you're looking for Matthew, it's at the beginning of the New Testament. So you got the old and then the new, and then Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the gospels. That word gospel just means good news. They share the good news of the life, the ministry, the miracles, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We'll put the words on the screen, but I do want everyone to hear me say this morning. If you look in the seat back in front of you, there's blue cards. They're colorful on one side, blue on the other. That is our guide mark's plan for spiritual growth, for personal growth. And the top one is the G, and it says growing in knowledge and application of the Bible. And we know that disciples need to be growing in knowledge and application of the Bible. And that's why every week we offer free Bibles, because we want you guys to become a student of the Bible and not just be fed the things that we feed you on a Sunday morning, but feed yourself over the course of the week. So please take us up on that. Go get a free Bible this morning before you leave. Download a Bible app, download the BPF app. Don't just follow along, but consume the scriptures for yourself. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, what we're going to see here is Jesus speaking, and Jesus himself is going to help us to discover what it means to be his disciple as we begin phase one of the disciple-making pathway. Matthew 11, 28, again, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the first three words of Jesus's words here are such a simple but meaningful invitation. He says, "Come to me." And this is an invitation from Jesus into relationship. And I want you to understand this from the very beginning as we engage with this disciple-making pathway and we think about what it is to be a disciple. And we look to Jesus' description here. It's that being a disciple is a call to Jesus. Being a disciple is a call to Jesus, and he's calling us into relationship with him. That's fundamental for this disciple-making pathway, but I don't want you to miss that this is such a great invitation that he is calling, and he's calling me, and he's calling you. It's an amazing invitation that is unique to Christianity, that is unique to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Why is it so amazing? Why is it so unique? Because you look behind it and you realize that what's going on here is the God of the universe, the timeless, perfect, holy God, is inviting us to come to him. And my friends, that is good news. But it's hard to understand how good the good news if we don't first understand the bad news. And the bad news is that each and every one of us as human beings, we are flawed and we are broken and we are sinful, and that sin separates us from God. And that bad news is so much worse than I think we even understand. But you got to really understand that the bad news of the separation that is created by sin and our sin and your sin and my sin is met with its match, with its more than its match. And this invitation from Jesus, this is the good news, come to me. And y'all, that's an essential building block in understanding the disciple-making pathway, that this truly is where it begins. Because listen, becoming a follower of Christ, it comes with so many benefits. There's so many benefits that come with following Christ, but the greatest gain that we get is that we get God himself. We think about the promises of God. We think about the blessings of God, the gifts of God, the different things that God does in and around us, and all of those things are good, but don't miss this. The greatest gain that you will find, that you will discover, is that you get God himself, that the giver becomes the gift in Jesus Christ. And so my question for us this morning is this: have you discovered Jesus? Have you discovered Jesus' invitation, come to me? Have you responded to that call from Jesus? Because that's where disciple-making begins. When you look and it starts with a new disciple that becomes a growing disciple that ultimately becomes a disciple-making disciple, it all starts with responding to the amazing invitation to come to Jesus. I want us to look back to verse 28. So that we can better understand the depths of this amazing invitation. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, come to me, all who are weary and all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, that does sound like a good invitation, doesn't it? Absolutely, it does. But my guess is that there's more going on here than what you realize this morning. I mean, on the surface, it sounds great, but let's dig into the depths of it, because we need to think about who the weary and the burdened are. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Who are the weary? Who are the burdened? Jesus is speaking in the context of Matthew 11 to people that have been overwhelmed by rules and laws and commands, both God-given and man-made rules and laws and commands. They are weary, they are exhausted because they have been carrying the heavy load of trying to justify themselves. As they try to make themselves worthy, as they try to get themselves approved, as they try to behave themselves into relationship with God, they have exhausted themselves because justifying ourselves with our own self-righteousness is the impossible, and carrying the weight of the impossible has worn them out. And so Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And my question for you this morning is this: have you been there? Have you walked in those shoes? Do you know what that's like? Have you discovered for yourself that you cannot be good enough to get yourself to God? Have you come to that conclusion? Have you discovered that you cannot, you will not fix your sin problem on your own, no matter how hard you try? That's the bad news, that sin creates a problem, and that problem is separation from a holy God, and you will not, cannot fix that sin problem in and of yourself. And so that feels like a burden, right? That feels heavy, but there's good news, right? Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And let me tell you, this weary and burdened is a horrible place to live, isn't it? You know people that live there? It's a horrible place to live, but it is not a bad place to start. Because when we're weary and burdened and we come to the end of ourselves, we begin to discover our need for Jesus. And that's a beautiful discovery. When we begin to discover our need for the grace of God, you're in a good place. Because until you recognize that you need Jesus, until you recognize that you need grace, let me tell you, there is no sense in you trying to follow him. That's just religion. And that's not what God is about. No, Jesus comes and he steps into skin and he steps into earth and he comes to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And he invites the weary and he invites the burdened to come to me. And then he says, I promise I'll give you rest. And when you think about rest, I'm curious what you think about. When I think about rest, I think about relaxing, right? Just ceasing to strive. That was in the lyrics of a song we sang a few moments ago. This is the end of all of our striving, right? Relaxing in such a way that we cease to strive. Why? Because there's a peace. There's a peace in the depths of our hearts and our minds. When I think about rest, when you think about rest this morning, I want you to recognize this, that rest is the opposite of effort. Y'all, this is so hard for us because we want to do effort. We want to work our way. We want to be good enough. We want to hold on to control. And if I can get there on my own, that I can hold on to the control of my life. We want so bad for our effort to be enough, but it's not enough. And we have to understand that to have a full understanding of the amazing nature of Jesus' invitation here. And as we begin to build this disciple-making pathway and answer the question, what is a disciple? Let's start with this, right? Being a disciple is not a call to more effort. Don't misunderstand this morning. We are not calling you to more effort. As we build the disciple-making pathway phase by phase by phase, one and two and then three, I just want to drive a stake in the ground this morning and say we all must understand this, that this is not a call for you to try harder. That's not what I'm saying to you this morning. So stop trying harder and just simply accept Jesus' rest. The song that we sang earlier where we said, this is the end of my striving, it said that is at the cross of Christ where Jesus spoke and he said, it is finished. And the people that believe that it is finished, they have peace in the depths of their heart and their mind. The people that believe Jesus' word that it is finished, that he has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, we find that rest in Christ. And we recognize that I don't have to try harder. I don't have to apply more effort. That the call to Jesus is a call to himself, and it is a call to rest, and that he alone can give my weary and burdened soul, my self-justifying, self-righteous soul, what it needs. That's what you discover in Christ this morning. And it's such an essential building block because the reality is if we don't get this right in phase one, then it can cause you to horribly twist your understanding of phase two and phase three of the disciple-making pathway. If you don't discover that it truly is finished and this is not a call to more effort and God is not calling us just to try harder in order to get his love or to be approved, then you will misunderstand what it means to develop and what it means to deploy. It's not about try harder. And so if this is not about try harder, then why all of this talk about plans and paths and next steps? Well, I want you to go back to verse 29. It helps us to understand this. Matthew 11, 29, Jesus speaking, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And there are two key words of focus that I want to draw your attention to this morning out of verse 29. In fact, I want you to circle these two words in your Bible. It's the word yoke and the word learn. Two words, yoke and learn. And we will talk about each of them individually. Yoke and learn. That's where we will put our focus. So let's start with the first one. What is a yoke? No, it is not the center of an egg. All right, a bunch of South Texans, we say, you know, the yolk in the middle of the egg. No, this is something different. And I want to make sure that you know what it is. You can take a look at this picture. This will help you to see what the yoke is. It's a tool. It's the tool that's connecting those two oxen. It is an amazing tool because what it does is it takes two animals and it puts them together. And by putting them together, it more than doubles their productivity. My guess is you've probably not ever dealt with a yoke when it comes to dealing with animals. But the reality is that Jesus's audience in his day and time when Matthew 11 was originally spoken, they would have known immediately what a yoke is. They would have known in their society what a yoke was. And even if they didn't know it from seeing it and experiencing it, they would have known it from the scriptures because the yoke was referred to dozens of times elsewhere in the Bible, in the Old Testament portion of our Bible, the Jewish or Hebrew scriptures. But all of these past references to a yoke were almost always negative. It was almost always a bad thing. It was certainly not about rest, but what a yoke was usually used to describe was something that was a heavy and crushing burden. right? It could have been things like a false religion that Israel had connected itself with, that they would ultimately regret following in idol worship. A yoke could have been something describing even a punishment that God had laid upon the people of God for their continued disobedience and their continued unwillingness to surrender to him and his authority. A yoke could have been a particular personal sin that enslaved someone, that someone is in bondage, held captive by a sin of choice. In other places, a yoke simply describes a bad idea, like a Christian marrying a non-Christian. We see that referred to as being unequally yoked, right? But what you see over and over again is that yokes were great for animals, but they were horrible for people. So it would have been so shocking when Jesus said, take on my yoke, and not only that he said, take on my yoke, but he said it would relieve your burdens and it would bring rest to you. That would not have made sense to them at first glance. And that's okay, because what Jesus is doing here is he's creating a paradox. And he wants to get our attention with his words, because what Jesus is talking about here is an unequal share of responsibility. It's not like that picture where these two animals are equals and they're sharing the responsibility as they pull together. No, what Jesus is promising us in regards to his yoke is that he will take all of the weight and he will do all of the work. Every bit of effort that's needed is done by Jesus. And my friends, that is Christianity. That is Christianity defined. That's why the gospel is good. That's what disciple making is about. This is disciple making explained. And so you look at that picture and no, this is not actually an accurate picture. Yes, this describes captivity and bondage, right? You look at these animals and they are bound together. You look at this and it doesn't look like rest for you. This looks like a representation of work. Yes, it makes their work a little bit easier, but this still involves so much effort. And that's actually what the paradox is about. Because Jesus intends for us to look at this image, and he looks, as we look at it, we begin to see freedom. A rest-inspiring freedom. And the difference is that this is actually not a picture at all of the yoke of Jesus. And the key behind the key word here is not just yoke, it's my yoke. Jesus says we are to come and take on his yoke, because when we come to Jesus and we are yoked with Jesus, friends, we give the full weight of all of our sin and shame and guilt to him. When we are yoked with Jesus, we give the fullness of our own inability to keep the commands of God to Jesus. And he bears the full weight of God's commands and laws. Jesus, from beginning to end, birth, life, death, and resurrection, was completely holy, completely perfect, kept every command of God. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And in that, he will bear the full weight of our sin and the full weight of ourselves. And so the yoke of Jesus looks nothing like the picture of these two cows, because he is not our equal in size or in strength or in character. No, we do not carry the load of life together with Jesus. No, he carries the load and he carries us. He carries the load of salvation. He carries the load of life, and not just for this life, but the life in eternity that we will experience. And that, my friends, is why the yoke of Jesus is a picture of freedom. It is freedom because he gives the fullness of himself in life and in death. He gave himself fully, doing all of the effort and all of the work for us to be yoked in relationship with him. And so when we respond to this amazing invitation, come to me, and we respond to Jesus' call to be yoked up with him, I want you to understand, yes, we do become captive. It is a sense of bondage. We are bound to Jesus Christ. To use a more modern day illustration, it's like we're handcuffed to Jesus, right? We are bound to Christ. But the paradox is this: in that captivity, we find freedom. And being bound to Jesus, we find the freedom, the rest that our souls need, because Jesus sets us free as he carries us. And that, my friends, that brings rest to our weary souls. That's what a yoke is about. That's what the yoke of Jesus is about. But there's one more word of focus in verse 29 that really helps us to discover what is a disciple and what is disciple making about. It's that second word of focus. It's the word learn, right? So by definition, A disciple is a learner. That's literally what it means. It's someone who learns. It's a student. It's a follower of a master teacher. You've probably never thought of this, or possibly never thought of this, but I believe that this is absolutely true, that every person is a disciple of someone. I don't hear that word disciple used outside of the church a whole lot, but the reality is everyone is a disciple of someone. It's a learner, a student, someone who follows the teaching of a master teacher. But it's not just about their ideologies and their theories and their practices. It's about the person, and everyone follows someone, even if your master teacher is yourself. At the root of it, there's still a person, right? And so disciple-making is a call to a person. And in the context of our faith, Christian discipleship is a call to Christ. And Christ followers are yoked with Jesus. And as we take on that yoke, being yoked unequally with Jesus, we are free from the weight of the law, we are freed from the weight of our sin, and we become free to learn and free to follow Jesus in relationship. That's a gift of grace. You see, being a disciple of Jesus is freedom to follow. It's freedom to follow Christ. Not following in order to get freedom, but being set free so that we can follow. And as we are yoked with him, as we follow him, as we live in relationship with Christ, we become more like him. That proximity, that connection, that relationship begins to transform and to change us. And the longer that we're yoked to him, the more and more and more we grow into Christ-likeness, right? Being like Christ, being more like him in our character, never achieving perfection, never achieving perfect obedience, but becoming more obedient to the commands of God because of our connection to the Christ. And as we're yoked with him, we find our hearts being consumed with the commands of Christ. They're simple. Do you know what the command of Christ is? It's love. Jesus said, it's love God and love people. The command of Christ is love. And as we walk with Christ and we experience the freedom of Christ, we follow Christ in being loving, loving God and loving people. And ultimately that becomes the why behind phase two and phase three of the disciple-making pathway. If we are to develop, if we are to deploy, why? Because we love God and we love people. And we want to search the depths of the truth of God, and we want to share the depths of the truth of God. And that's why we develop, and that's why we deploy. That's why we do the second and third phases of the disciple-making pathway. But before you develop or deploy, make sure you discover this. Friends, it is about relationship, not about religion. Being yoked to Christ is about relationship with the God of creation. The one who is both infinite and intimate and loves you so deeply. And that's why when he says, come to me, it's a call to Jesus himself. And the reality is it's all about him. It's all about that relationship. It's all about him. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Let me give you an example. What are the kinds of things that a disciple does? We'll go back to where we started on that guide marks for personal growth, on the guide marks plan. The first one, G, growing in knowledge and application of the Bible. You hear us say that all the time around here. We want you guys to be a student of the Bible. We want you to grow in your knowledge and application of the Bible. We want you to know more so that you can do more. What is that all about? Why do we push that so much? That sounds like religion. It's not. It's about relationship. Why do we encourage you to grow in being a student of the Bible? Because where do you find Jesus? You find him in the Bible. It's God's revelation for us. It's where the truth of Christ is found. It's where we find the person of Jesus. And that's not just in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, that's where we find Jesus, because the whole of the Bible points to what? All of it, beginning to end, points to a person. And that person is Jesus. And then you find that person in the Gospels. And what does that person say to you in relationship? He says, come to me. Come to me. And so that's why we say, guys, fall in love with the scriptures. Because it'll develop your love of Christ. Consume the scriptures. Because as you do more of that, you will get more Jesus. It's about relationship. Not religion, because a disciple is simply a Christ follower, someone who follows Christ.
Same, same. Disciple equals Christ follower. Disciple making does not represent some higher level of commitment. As you look at the disciple making pathway and begin to understand this, I want you to know this from the beginning. It does not represent some higher level of commitment. How can I say that? It's because I need you to discover this today, that if you're going to become a disciple of Christ, from the very start, you commit all. You give it all. You give the full weight of yourself to Jesus. As you yoke up with Jesus, it's a call to complete surrender, yielding all control. You grow in that, you develop in that, you understand that more. But if you're going to discover Jesus, understand this, that he wants all of you, every bit of you, your whole self. And so the disciple-making pathway is not a program. It's not a to-do list. It's not a moral code. If I haven't said it already, let me say it again. It is a call to Jesus himself. And in the freedom of that relationship, in that never-ending grace-based relationship, we grow and we transform. The more we hang out with Jesus, the more he changes who we are. We become more like him as we follow him with the new heart and the new mind that he promises to give us. We grow in becoming more like him as the Spirit of God, which is a gift because of the work of Christ on the cross. As the Holy Spirit of God works in us, we grow. And what happens is in this new mind, with this new heart, we cease our striving. We stop working. We recognize that we don't have to try harder and it's not about effort. We stop striving and we rest because we've experienced in the depths of our heart peace with God. And it's transformative. So my question for you this morning is this: where are you? This is your GPS. It's not just designed to show you where to go, it's also designed to help you find where you are. And I want you to look at that from a new disciple to a growing disciple to a disciple making disciple, from discovery to develop to deploy, from we guide you to you guide you to you guide others. Where are you? Because it's important that you start at the beginning. And friends, there is nothing that we would love more than to guide you to discover what it means to fall in love with Jesus, to live in love with Jesus. We want to guide you to discover what it means to love Jesus as Savior, to commit yourself fully to him, for him to rescue you completely, for you to take on his yoke and devote your life to him. And that's why we're here. We exist to guide people to take their next step with God. And in this discovery phase, y'all, we want to guide you. We want to walk alongside you like a friend, a spiritual guide that's walking with you on this journey. And we guide you through these next steps, through these most critical next steps of your entire life. And so this morning, as I guide you, let me just ask you, is it time? Y'all, is it time for you to answer the call to come to Jesus and find rest in him for your weary soul? Is it time for you to experience the peace of God that can only come when you recognize that you can't solve your sin problem on your own, but that Jesus has done everything that is necessary? Is it time for you to give your life to him and to take his yoke upon you, to learn from him? And as you learn, for you to truly learn that Jesus is not asking for more self-effort, for self-improvement, or for you to overcome the sin problem, the shame problem, or the guilt problem on your own. You need to learn that. You need to recognize that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you're ready to discover that, I would love to guide you. And I'm going to ask you to do something that's probably something that you already do every day. It's something that's really not that unique. It may kind of sound a little bit funny for this to be a next step, but it's a next step, all right? What I would invite you to do is to text us. So send the keyword faith to the number 95577. So 95577 is the number, and you'll send us that word faith. And let me tell you this, we want so badly to guide you in this, to walk with you through this, to answer great questions that you have, that this is how we connect with you. This is all internal to Brazos Point. If you send that, I want to call you myself today, to connect with you, to walk with you, and to be a guide that guides you along the most important path that you could ever take. And so if you would, please give us that opportunity to guide you. And you don't have to be ready. You may have questions. If you want a guide that will walk you through the questions, please text me. Faith to 95577, because we want to walk with you as you begin your journey with Christ, as you discover Jesus as Savior. In just a moment, I'm gonna pray. You can text while I'm praying. You have my permission, all right? But get out your phone and text us if you're ready or if you want someone to walk with you through questions. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you that your goodness is abundantly on display in your gospel, that you have met the bad news with matchless good news, that you have done for us everything that we need in Jesus Christ. And I believe in his invitation that we can come to him, that he will take our weary and burdened hearts and replace it with rest. God, I know this and believe this because I have experienced this and I have lived this. You are so good. And I want for others to discover your goodness. Father, for the ones that are ready, I pray that you would move, that you would connect, that you would lead, that they would not be able to lay their heads down tonight without following Christ and surrendering themselves completely to him. For the ones who are questioning, I pray, God, that you would connect us. Let us guide them. Let us love them through their questions. Give real answers to real questions. So God, I pray that you would move. And we just open ourselves to you, God. I pray this in your name. Amen.